coming up on podcast 1196. Following up yesterday's story, now a Nobel winner says EVs are better than hydrogen or synthetic fuels. Also on the podcast today, Lotus confirming their EV plans. The Ford Focus could go electric, but not just yet. And Vauxhall's electric van plans. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. For Tuesday, 31st of August, my name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story. So you don't have to. I'm here to save your time. You're busy, but so am I. But at least it's my job to go through all these stories and filter into the ones that you need. I'm delighted to say feeling a little bit better today and the voice returning a bit as well, following another frustrating little bug that's going around. We'll start with news about Mercedes-Benz and an all-electric G-Wagon appearing in Munich at the IAA Mobility Show. The electrification of Mercedes-Benz is continuing with their EQ sub-brand and the EQG. That's the likely name for the mighty G-Wagon being shown off at IAA in Munich. Merck engineers and stylists working overtime to imbue the EQG with an appearance that is not only fit for the electric age, but also fits the square-jawed face that is so popular in Hollywood and moneyed parts of the world. And the EQG will have to resemble the G-Wagon if it's going to stay attractive to those fans of that vehicle. Driving.ca website, which is really good, points out that while the company will probably take a planer to the hard edges, it remains unlikely it'll reinvent the two-box design. Fundamentally, it isn't fundamentally all that different from when it first appeared 4 decades ago. There are rumblings Mercedes will plug motors and batteries into the G's current, like a ladder frame, rather than deploy a pure electric architecture. They don't want to risk ruining its off-road chops, so maybe take the existing G-Wagon, put batteries in it. But of course, if you assume those G-Wagons are all going to be used off-road, well, you would ignore the fact that most of them only really experience Rodeo Drive or Savile Row. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to read more. And maybe if you are indeed going to IAA in Munich, maybe you'll be looking out for that vehicle. If they do indeed unveil it, there's going to be plenty of EV launches, I would think. Maybe concept launches and even, you know, just announcements at that show, which does start next week. My long-term plans before I was damn ill again was to go to that, was to drive those about 800 miles to Munich from where I am, to spend a day or so over there and mooch back. But so much of my workload has been shunted backwards. I think that's looking unlikely now. Man, that frustrates me. Next, in the US, Kia is introducing the 2022 model year Niro EV. More features, but also a higher price, which is in the opposite to what we talked about recently on the podcast, which was the new US Kona from Hyundai with more features and a lower price by several thousand dollars, but not the case with Kia of America announcing today the 2022 model year Niro EV, refreshed, better equipped, and more expensive. On the outside, the Niro has the new Kia badge on the front grille, the tailgate and the steering wheel, and I suppose the wheel hubs as well. The biggest change is the big 10.25-inch touchscreen now becoming standard. The entry-level trim is $900 more expensive. It's now $39,990, not $39, and the premium version is $44,650. So the specs remain the same. The US only gets the big battery version. We get two choices of battery here, but you get the 64 kilowatt hour battery, EPA range 239, that's miles, of course, 385 kilometers, 150 kilowatt electric motor, very similar to the Hyundai Kona. In fact, what they're doing is bringing that spec, I think, in line with the 2022 Kona, which I had for 3 months, the new revised face Kona. As I've mentioned a few times, I really, really liked it. For a compromised car, in other words, a car built for multiple powertrains, really good. Wifey loved it as well. She'd buy one. Absolutely buy one. But I, you know, I've said, well, let's look at some other options first as well. Interesting reaction to this Kia story. Somebody I saw online said that 2 to 3 years ago, that wasn't a bad price. You know, $39,900 for an entry-level trim. But now the Bolt is cheaper. The Leaf is, you know, at least 10 grand, like 15 grand cheaper now. Lots more competition. And the ID4 as well. So somebody's saying that the ID4 has arrived, and the 77 kilowatt hour battery, two-wheel drive, ID4 has a 13 kilowatt hour pack that's larger, 50 kilometers more WLTP range, has better AC charging. I thought that the new Kona and the new Niro were 11 kilowatt AC, but if not, you know, the ID4 has, if you get three phase, 11 kilowatt AC charging. Certainly a lot faster DC fast charging than the e-Niro, a bigger cargo area, more passenger space. And in the Europe, the ID4 is only €4,500 more than the e-Niro, 64 kilowatt hour. So if you apply that pricing to the US, it should be $35,000 pre-incentives. Should be $35,000 to $36,000 pre-incentives. Of course, Kia are nowhere near getting to their limit on the federal tax credit, which does bring it below 30K. But of course, the ID4 as well. So, you know, it is you know, apples for apples. And I see what they mean by that. That is a premium price for the Niro, which is still a great EV, by the way. If you're a Niro EV owner, or e-Niro, it's called in different parts of the world, you've got yourself a great car. But not a cheap car. Next, lithium ion batteries were pioneered many years ago by one of the people who was a Nobel Prize winner, by the way, Akira Yoshino. He's a professor. He's the co-winner of the 2019 Nobel Prize for Chemistry for his work on lithium ion batteries. And he can take credit for the upheaval in the automotive industry. Lithium ion batteries enabled the first serious competition in a century to fossil fuels. Now, the honorary fellow at a Japanese chemical firm has been talking about electric vehicles and batteries. Don't think he has an axe to grind, so I think he's just a knowledgeable gentleman who is happy to share his thoughts. Two major areas of innovation, he says, are key in lithium-ion batteries. He said one would be the new cathode materials and anode materials. The second one would be the system where the electric vehicle is used. In other words, how people use electric vehicles, how they charge them, and how they discharge them. He said, it's a Nobel Prize winner. He said, with fuel cells, hydrogen vehicles, there are challenges on the technology and the costs, but you can overcome them if you think about the longer term to 2050, autonomous shared vehicles are going to come about. Hypothetically, an autonomous vehicle could be run with a petrol engine. It could be electric and it could be fuel cell. It doesn't matter what the power source is, but it does need, autonomous vehicles need to replenish their energy somehow. If the vehicle can't do that automatically without human intervention, the system is meaningless. The same thing would be true for petrol or hydrogen. Right now, the automotive industry is thinking about how to invest in the future of mobility. At the same time, the IT industry is thinking about the future of mobility. And somewhere, sometime, the auto and IT industries, there's going to be a convergence for the future of mobility. Wow, fascinating. One of the pioneers of lithium ion, clearly a deep thinker on this subject, saying, look, you know, hydrogen, petrol, it's all a way of moving around, but batteries are just better. So I'll pop a link to the Straits Times website in the show notes if you want to read that full article. It's really, really interesting. Next, the Ford Focus has been spied with a big Mach-E touchscreen. The facelifted Ford Focus for 2022 model year has a major tech upgrade inside. New spy photos pointing to the supersized infotainment screen. Inspired by Tesla, says drive.com.au. I would say that's a little unfair. Well, as you know, there's the Mach-E in the family, but you know, yeah, say Tesla inspired them. They might have done, who knows. With the perspective of the image, it makes it difficult to confirm, but it appears the Focus will be the latest Ford model to gain Sync 4, the Sync 4 infotainment system, which houses the 15.5-inch touchscreen from the Mach-E. Ford of Europe has committed to offering a plug-in, hybrid, or all-electric version of every vehicle it sells, but that doesn't kick in until 2026. That deadline conveniently follows after the end of current generation Focus's life cycle. So 4 years of the combustion ones, then we go all electric on the Ford Focus. That's a car that really does need to be all electric for the masses to buy in. Next, Lotus and a teaser image previews the future Lotus EV lineup, which will be made of up to five models with the inclusion of the Evija, that is the hypercar. Joining it from next year will be a large SUV. Now, it's still codenamed Type 132. Then the following year, in 2023, we see the arrival of a similarly sized four-door coupe. That is codenamed Type 133. And that's shaping up as a Model S competitor. It's a mid-size segment next, the D-segment SUV. That's the Type 134. That'll arrive in 2024. That'll be up against cars like the BMW iX3. Three of these vehicles will use Lotus's recently announced premium architecture. According to the magazine Auto Express and the website autoexpress.co.uk, they say a fully electric car platform, the premium architecture, is developed by Geely, owner of Lotus, for a global rollout of the lifestyle cars, including the SUVs and the four-door coupe. Lotus confirming the premium architecture is indeed an 800-volt system, so it'll charge quick on 800-volt chargers. We're talking 200 and, well, at the minute, Ioniq 5 from Hyundai is about 233 kilowatts, I think, peak speed. YouTube videos have showed Porsche Taycan around 270, in theory faster as well. And the Lotus lifestyle vehicles all made in China. So Lotus is a name that everyone loves, but the car's made in China at a new Wuhan factory, which does open later this year. Coming up on the podcast, Volkswagen's electric van plans and the fastest selling EVs if they're used. Stick around, that's coming up. Now, Jay Leno is reviewing the 2022 Mercedes-Benz EQS. I love Jay Leno. Clearly a car guy. And you just know, if you're watching a YouTube video, a car girl, a car guy, someone who's passionate about cars. It can be petrol, it can be, you know, whatever. But he loves his EVs and his petrol stuff as well. But I'll just say to begin with, I watched this whole video. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was sponsored content. He was so effusive about the Mercedes-Benz EQS. He had somebody from Mercedes-Benz on, asking them softball questions. I don't know. I mean, they gave him a car to drive for a week. I wouldn't be surprised that they gave him a car to keep, because it was like, this is just a half hour ad-ish for Mercedes-Benz. He clearly says amazing things about this car. He got the Mercedes-Benz EQS to drive around in the local area. He was impressed by the ease of use, how effortless it was to drive. He talked about the lack of vibration, the sense of ultimate luxury. At one point, Jay says, it's almost as if you're watching a video of the outside world, you know, because it's so quiet, you know, inside, and it's just outside passes by. It is interesting. What you want from Jay is to lift up the bonnet, to lift up, you know, the boot and the flaps, and to have a good old nose around and be like, oh, what's this doing here? And like, what's that? Why did you, if you got the designer from Mercedes on, why did you, like, why are there no cameras for mirrors? And make Mercedes say, well, US laws won't allow it, but outside of the US, yeah, we'll have cameras. It's better for the drag. Like, I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. You watch it. I enjoyed it. I love it. I love Jay. But there was no... clearly, he loves the car. He was effusive. I'll leave it there. Next, we'll talk about Vauxhall. Well, here I say Vauxhall. In Europe, you'd say Opel. Vauxhall Opel's latest electric van, the Combo E, has just gone on sale in the UK, completing the firm's lineup of electric commercial vehicles. The Combo E starts at £25,000. Now, that doesn't include VAT, because, of course, businesses, if you are VAT registered, you can claim back the VAT from Her Majesty's Customs, including the government's plug-in car grant as well. Due to hit showrooms later this year, the Combo E brings the electric range of 171 miles, 50 kilowatt hour battery. Look, you know the score. This is exactly the same spec as all of their commercial vehicles. It is solid as a rock. 50 kilowatt hour battery, 100 kilowatt motor, 100 kilowatt DC fast charging. That means you're full in 30 minutes. Business users can get a zero benefit in kind tax. And it's something that we haven't really explored on this podcast, the benefit in kind tax. It's one of those things that you can do through legislation to incentivize people to go EV. It hasn't got to just be money off the price of the car. So, for instance, let me explain. If a business owns a car and its employees get use of that for personal, moving around, then there's a tax to pay because it's a benefit, right? So we have to pay income tax on that. And that's pretty onerous. That's why company cars are less popular here than they used to be. But the government said, well, it's zero for EVs. Now it's 1% at the minute, and it's 2%. Well, 2% of what? 2% of the P11D value. 2% of the, like, the purchase price, basically. Let me say that. So you take your 2% value of the car. So this is from next year, from 2022. So you take a car that is, in theory, let's just say 40 grand. Okay, I know EVs can be more. Okay, say 50 grand. It's 2% of that. So that is £1,000. That's the rateable taxable value. But then you apply your personal tax rate. So here, again, if I won't go into a long story about our tax rates, it can be 20 or 40 or 45%. So say you're in the 20% tax bracket, then it's 20% of the £1,000 value, which is £200 a year you have to pay extra for the use of that. And that's just tax to the government for having use of a company car. That makes driving a company car very, very attractive. But if it's a commercial vehicle, it's 0% benefit in kind tax. There you go. That's my, whew, man, oh man, I forget. This is a global podcast and so many people listening around the world will be like, what's he talking about? So there you go. That's an explainer. But if your country does something similar, or, you know, it's just one of the ways of not just sticking money on, you know, off the price of the car. There's lots of little tools that regulators and governments can do that actually, you know, because this podcast, okay, oh man, this is a massive digression. This podcast is a limited company. It's a business now. I started off making a few pounds and I sort of just, you know, didn't really do anything with it, but it was making hundreds of pounds a month. I'm like, okay, well now I have to declare that. Obviously I have to be within the law. And so I had to go back and declare everything. And we set up as a limited company eventually. Which means it's its own legal entity, and it does make a small profit every year. I don't take a salary, clearly. It's not enough to pay myself, to completely live off. But it does wash its face, pays all the bills, etc. This podcast could, in theory, own a car, and then I could drive that podcast car, but I would personally have to pay some extra money in my income tax every year. The combo e-van from Vauxhall or Opel in Europe can be a panel van, it can be a crew van, it's got two load lengths, two specs, the dynamic and the sportive specs. I'll pop a link to Yahoo News in the show notes if you want to read more. What are the fastest selling EVs? And indeed, the slowest selling EVs in the UK? Well, the Kia e-Niro was August's fastest selling used electric car. The second place was Tesla Model X, 32 days to sell. Corsa E, 33 days. Model 3, 34 days. Nissan Leaf, 36 days. Q4 e-tron, 36 days. How are they used ones of those around? That's brand new. XC40 Recharge, 39 days. MG ZS EV, 39 days. E-Golf, 40 days. And ID3, 40 days to sell on the used market. Slowest one was the EQV van. 150 days, it says, to sell. Holy moly, that's a long time. I guess they're expensive and a smaller audience for those. Next, a Canadian-based architectural design competition is seeking inspiring concepts that will reimagine the traditional roadside fueling station while serving as a blueprint for the next level EV charging stations, says Canadian Architect website. See, I go to these places to find stories for you. I bet you've never been to CanadianArchitects.com. The design competition is called The Electric Fueling Station of the Future. It was launched by the Canadian organisation, calling on designers and architects to get their thinking caps on and submit plans for an entirely new roadside oasis for EV chargers. I can't wait to see the entries and even the winner of this. Rethinking charging stations. Now, I can think of good examples and I can think of some pretty damn shabby examples of charging stations. So there you go. We're asking the experts. Please design them. Final story today. The new Ford Mustang Mach-E. The lead designer of that, Donna Dixon, she stopped by the vlogger Sandy Munro and was talking about the Mach-E. The big news is there's going to be range updates coming over the next few years. The Mach-E lineup starts at 211 miles of range for the base trim, tops out at 305 miles. According to Autoblog, she was coy about how much range the engineers will be able to add year on year and how they'll do it. But it will go beyond just software and battery chemistry. She said, and I quote, "We know we have to get some weight out to better those numbers," end quote. So by the looks of it, there's some efficiencies that the Marquis designers know they can do. Maybe some compromises, as it was their first EV, get some weight out of the car, get some extra range. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. As cars like the Hyundai Ioniq 5 and trucks like the Ford F-150 Lightning arrive on the market with plug sockets on, domestic plugs able to deliver not just a few watts, but serious kilowatts of power, what will you power from your EV in the future? Please tell me. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. My occasional mention for a review is always welcome. If you use Apple Podcasts, the app online on iTunes, maybe on your computer, you click on this podcast, you'll see there's a little ratings and review section. You can give it a star rating. Even better, you can say a few words about why you listen. It helps other people find this show. Social proof, if you like. You can say what you think about this show, and it helps me grow the audience. So if you can, that'd be amazing. Hi to our Patreon premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and of course emobilitynorway.com. Good timing, cat. She's hungry. She wants her dinner. I'm going to go feed the cat. And you remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.